see more of him and to know more of him. And Josh is going to put up some verses, Mr. Technical Manager. This is a verse, I don't know if you can see it, about Noah. And it says, he, Noah, sent out a dove, this is from Genesis 8, to see if the waters had receded from the face of the earth. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned to him in the ark. There's only two actual mentions in the Bible of specific doves. One is this dove, the physical dove, and the other is a spiritual dove, which is the Holy Spirit who came onto Jesus. And it says, this is so interesting here, that dove went out from the ark, all the waters had covered the face of the earth, and Noah wanted to know, is there a place where we can land this boat? What's happening here? He sent out these birds, and he sent out the dove, and the dove could not find a resting place. It's such a picture of what the Holy Spirit is like, that he's searching for a resting place, somewhere where he can come and dwell in our hearts. Smith Wigglesworth, who's the famous Yorkshire evangelist, said that the Holy Spirit will only come where there is a place prepared for him. That's an amazing statement. He will only come where there's a place prepared for him. And then if we have a look at the verse where it talks about the second dove, which is from John 1, and it's where John the Baptist is speaking. This is John the Baptist, and he says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him, and I didn't know him. But he who sent me said, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And this was the second dove, sent out from heaven this time, not from the ark. But this dove found a resting place. It says he remained. In some of the translations, it says he rested. In other places, it says he stayed. The Holy Spirit came down onto Jesus, and he stayed there. He didn't leave him. And he's still searching for a resting place. He's still searching for a place in our hearts. About 2 years ago, like I was saying, I became really... had such a desire in my heart to find more of the Holy Spirit, to know more about the Holy Spirit. When I was quite young, I had become a Christian, and then I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, but I felt that I knew so little about him. And I could see from the Bible that he was so powerful, and I felt that we lacked that power. I'd seen again, when I went to university, and that's why I'm partly so excited about Esther and Amy going off, I'd seen the Holy Spirit's power come in Exeter University where I was, and he came in an amazing way, and people got saved, and their lives were changed, and it was the most extraordinary time, and I saw the Holy Spirit come, but I felt such a need to see him come again in my own life and to have more of him. And I knew that the Bible said, because we'd done it at Charity Wood the year before, that we could ask the Father and he would give us more of the Holy Spirit. And I knew as well, because John says it here in John 1, that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. That's such an amazing thing, isn't it? Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. And I knew that, but I was so wanting more. And so I started to pray, Jesus, please give me more of your Holy Spirit. I want to see your power. Because I don't see how we're going to reach this area effectively without that power. I think, too, that God never intended for us to do it without that power, that he wants to equip us with his power to go out. And so I started to pray this thing of, give me more of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And then we started these Monday night prayer meetings. I know quite a few people have been to them every other week in the Beacon. And after several weeks of going to that meeting, I decided to go one night, take this verse, the Ephesians 5 verse, where it says, "If you pray, as you praise and as we love and as we worship Jesus, we'll become filled with the Holy Spirit." And so that night, I just thought, right, I'm going to completely praise the Lord. Now, we haven't been singing very much in those meetings, and so there was like no music, so I had to praise from my heart. So for about an hour, I was saying to the Lord, I was worshiping him, I was praising him as the King of Kings, as the first and the last, the beginning, the end. I just started to worship and worship him in my heart. And suddenly, after about an hour, it was like I kind of hit oil or something, and a tremendous joy started to fill me, more than I think I've ever felt in my life. And it was like starting to get a little bit of water again from the well. And that has increased and increased and increased. And then again this summer, in the children's meetings, actually on the summer camp with Luke and Martin and Joe and the others, there was one particular meeting. There were a number of amazing times when the Holy Spirit came as the children worshipped. And there was one in particular where Jesus came so near to me. And I was just, it was while David Abbott was leading the worship. I was lying as usual on my mat at the back. And I felt again this incredible joy and the moving of the Holy Spirit in my heart. And it's changed my relationship with Jesus so much. I've felt so near to him. I felt completely different. And it's just the Holy Spirit coming just a little bit nearer. Earlier last century, I was just looking up about this, there were guys who started to really seek for the Holy Spirit. And in a way, they sought for him, I think, possibly more seriously than we do. And they got so filled, these guys, at the turn of the century, of the last century, in Azusa Street and places. And in a way, they got kind of so filled because they got empty. I think we need to understand this, that we are not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit if we're full of other stuff. We're going to have to change. And if we want more of him, in a way, it's us that's got to change. So my prayer has changed from being, Lord Jesus, I want more of the Holy Spirit, to, Holy Spirit, you can have more of me. You can have more of my heart. You can have more of my life. Because if he's going to fill us, this is what's going to have to happen. And so in a way, my prayer has slowly changed. And Don Double was telling us a very funny story when he came about this old revival meeting where the guys would all come to the front and they would pray and kneel down. And there was one meeting where this evangelist was kind of leading it. And there's these two old ladies praying for this guy who was weeping at the front of the meeting as God was touching him. And one lady was praying, Lord, empty him, Lord. And the other lady was on the other side saying, Lord, fill him, Lord. And in the end, the evangelist said, could you guys make up your mind what you want him to do? And Don said that in a way, of course, they were both right. That in one way, we've got to get more empty if we're going to get more full. We're going to have to change if we're serious that we want more of him. So I really like that story. Let me just give you one more quote here. Have we got the good quote from this guy, John G. Lake? Some of us have been reading this guy's writings. He was a guy who was an evangelist in South Africa and in America, saw extraordinary things happen. In the sort of 1920s, 1930s, he said this, I love this, we need to come to the place where we are lost in the Son of God with the fire of Jesus burning in our hearts. And that fire is the Holy Spirit. This summer in one of the kids' meetings, one of the little boys came to the front, he was about 10 or 11, and he said, I've seen a picture of Jesus, and he's surrounded by fire. And I said to him, like you do with the children, what did you think God was saying to you? And he said, oh, I know what he was saying. He was inviting us to come into the fire, and the fire was the Holy Spirit. He was inviting us to come into the fire. That's such a strange thing. Who would invite you to come into a fire? You wouldn't want to because you'd be burnt. But he was saying this to, he was saying that he'd seen the Holy Spirit around Jesus, and he was inviting us to come and to take more of Jesus. So finally, final thing. I feel so much that we need to get thirsty. We need to get thirsty for more of Jesus. sorry, I was reading about the revival that's happened in Argentina and over the last sort of 10, 15 years. And they talk about this time when God poured out, I love this picture, a salt shaker, his salt shaker over there onto their tongues. And you think, well, that's a strange picture. But what they were saying was he made them thirsty. They became so thirsty for more of Jesus that they would go to any meeting. They would travel miles. Their meeting started to go on for days and days because they were so thirsty. They really, really wanted more of Jesus. And I think this is where we need to be honest. So some of us might say, well, I'm desperately thirsty. I want this more than anything else in my life. I want more of Jesus. And other people might say, well, no, I'm quite thirsty. And I think, too, some of us might say, I'm not really thirsty at all. I'm not really bothered. You know, I come on Sundays and all the rest go to cell group. But I'm not really bothered about knowing Jesus more. And I think we need to be honest where we're at with this and really say to the Lord, you know, please make me thirsty. Final verse. I love this. Oh, he's underlined it in red. Well done, Josh. I said, can you emphasize the last bit? Who's going to get the water? Who's going to get the water? The person that's thirsty. That's what it says. It doesn't say I'll pour out my water on everybody. It says, upon him who is thirsty. Somehow we've got to get more thirsty. We've got to desire and want more of Jesus. And I see this in the children, that many of them, particularly I would say some of the Lasers and some of the guys in Tribe and stuff, they're really starting to get thirsty for Jesus. They're wanting more of him. When we say we're going to worship Jesus, many of them are immediately down on their knees and with their hands in the air, just wanting more of him. And that's how he wants us to be. So we're going to finish this morning. We're going to just let Jesus come. And I'm going to ask Martin and the guys to come up. We're going to sing two of the songs. We sang these in the summer. And they're absolutely sort of written on my heart now. We call them the two Holy Spirit songs. And we're going to really invite the Holy Spirit to come. They're like a prayer, both of them. One says, Holy Spirit, come. And the other says, come, Holy Spirit. It's very confusing, but they're very simple. So I think what we'll do, and I said to some of the Lasers, if you guys want to come and be a part of this, that would be fine. What would be good to do is we'll perhaps teach them. Let's teach them the second song first. We'll just sing it. And then I think what we'll do is invite anybody that would like to. We're not going to pray for anyone or anything like that, but any kids, anybody who wants to, say, I want to make room for more of the Holy Spirit. I want to get more thirsty than I am. I want Jesus to come and touch me here this morning in this place. He will come and touch us if we open up our hearts to him. He'll come and change us. He can do in a split second, an extraordinary transformation in our lives. And we just want to welcome him to come today as we give him room. So we'll teach it to you, and then we'll invite anybody and everybody just to come forward, and we're just really going to open our hearts to the Lord. We're going to teach the slightly longer one, the Come Holy Spirit, is it?
Yeah.
Thank you.